You can go ahead and be seated. Find a Bible. We're going to go to Acts chapter 11 today. Acts chapter 11. It's on page 919 if you're using a Bible there in front of you. If you found us online, we are so glad to welcome you. And I'm Pastor Tim. It's been kind of a busy week. You see some green shirts here in St. Charles. You can't see them online, but here in this room. If you have a green shirt, can you just stand on up? A green t-shirt. How about that? All right. Can we thank these folks? They're from St. Louis. They served here in the Fox Valley all week long. And they're heading back today after this service. So we're going to pray for you a little later on. All right. And thanks for being here and serving. This is a family mission trip. Oftentimes we think of mission experiences, mission trips being like I got to sleep on a dirty floor and I have to get sick at least twice. And I don't think you've experienced any of that here. All right. But this was an experience for them to bring their children and as a family serve together. And if you want to learn more about that, go ahead and talk to Alex Bryce. He's our student ministry intern, coordinator, director, and he can let you know kind of what they did and how you as a family, kids, grandkids, extended family can get connected and serve as well. Awesome, awesome. You guys can be seated. Just so we can celebrate some more this morning. We have two baptisms, and this is a really neat story. The Holkren brothers, Graham and Owen, they're going to be baptized at our 10:30 service later on this morning. They're a preschool family who's connected back into church. Their family had some marginal church connection growing up, but have been apart from the church and really because of the welcoming environment and the way that they've been loved through preschool families, through other folks, through our community events, they've chosen to call St. Mark's their church home. And we're excited to be baptizing their two older boys here this morning. Can we just praise God for that? That's just an incredible, incredible thing that God keeps on doing here. And if you're looking for something to pray, there's a lot of things to pray for, but pray for our preschool, for the teachers, for the students who are coming. Julie, the director, they're getting ready. I mean, we're about a month and a half away from drop-off date. That's what I meant, drop-off date, all right? So pray especially for the little two-year-olds, first time away from mom, and maybe pray for the moms and dads too, all right? That would be awesome. Hey, great. Are you there? Acts chapter 11. Grunt, do something. Yes, okay. Acts chapter 11. I'm going to begin in verse 1, and this is kind of what we do. If you're new to St. Mark's, we read the scriptures and allow the scriptures to teach us and form us and mold us. So let's hear what God has to say today. Chapter 11, verse 1, this is where we're going to begin. Now the apostles, the brothers who were throughout Judea, heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party, that would be those who believe that the Messiah is only for the Jews, they criticized Peter, saying, "You went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began to explain it to them in this order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed the animals and the beasts of prey and reptiles and the birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter, and he will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.'" Now, verse 15. "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning." In other words, we had the same Pentecost-like experience. Verse 16, "I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorify God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." So we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would indeed give us that repentance that leads to life. Open our ears, open our hearts, so that our minds and our core beings might receive what you would have to give us today. We pray against the evil one, that he would have no power over us. And we do pray against distraction this morning, Lord, that we could focus on what you would have to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here's the truth. Maybe you're like me. We like to create differences. Raise your hand if you like to create differences. I just created a difference right there. All right. Some of us already have our hands up, and some of us are just sleeping. All right. But to illustrate my point, I just want to try this. All right. Raise your hand if you're a cat person. Okay. Now look around. Raise your hand if you're a dog person. All right. Raise your hand if you really don't like pets at all. All right. See, we have three distinctions there, all right? Any Microsoft people? PC, Microsoft, like you die by it, awesome. Apple people, that'd be me. All right, here's one. Dark chocolate, all right? And the chocolate by Satan, all right? That'd be milk. No, I'm kidding. Those are fun differences, right? And we can raise hands and laugh, but... Here's one that may be a little bit more serious. Don't raise your hand for this, okay? Because we divide ourselves all the time. Think about it. There's race, right? Black and white. There's political parties. We were just talking about this before the service. There's Democrats and Republicans. There's socioeconomic classes. There's rich and poor. We've got attraction. We have same gender and opposite gender. We have life issues, pro-life or pro-choice. We have professions. We have blue-collar workers and white-collar workers. We have education distinctions. We have college degree and no college degree. We have nationalities. You're a citizen or you're an immigrant. And what's amazing about these dichotomies, these differences that we maybe consciously or subconsciously continue to place around us, what happens is that we begin combining all these dichotomies, all these differences, into two supergroups. I'll give you an example. One supergroup might sound like this. One group would be white, Republican, pro-life, rich, straight, white-collar, educated American citizens. And one group, not so much. Or maybe we can simplify it like this. One group is like me, and one group isn't. And no matter how we separate ourselves, no matter how we think of us in one group or another, what happens is that when we discover it's not that black and white, when we discover that our dichotomies are only as good as what is in our minds, but once it leaves our minds, we realize that it gets really tough. Because the reality is there's not just two groups of people. But here's a question. What happens when we encounter somebody who's different than what we expect? Well, we begin to question them, right? Well, do you really think that? Do you really believe that? Are you really who you say you are? Because we don't think that they are what they should be, at least in our own minds. And you see, this is what's happening to Peter here in this story. Peter, he has this concept, this idea, whether it was shaped in him by his culture or taught to him at an early age or however he got there, this is his reality. That there's two groups in the world. There's two realities. There's Jews and there's Gentiles. Jews are good. Gentiles not so good. Jews are ceremonially clean. Gentiles can't enter the temple. They're circumcised descendants of Abraham who worshiped Yahweh, and there was then everybody else. There was God's chosen people. And then there's everybody else. See, for Peter, there was good people and bad people. People like me and people not like me. And in the middle of all this, what God does, he comes and he shakes his understanding of the world up. He shakes everything that he had grown to believe and embrace and turns it upside down. He throws in a man named Cornelius. You can read his story back in chapter 10. Go ahead and do that on your own time. All the details are there. But this man named Cornelius, he's an uncircumcised, he's a Gentile, and he's a believer. And it is as God is saying in that moment, that this dichotomy, like he's saying, Peter, it's not like that at all. But there, in fact, there are two groups, right? But Peter, it's not like you think. There's two groups. One is like me, God says, and the other is everybody else. So if you're going to make a distinction, if you're going to pick a difference, if you're going to create a dichotomy, choose that one. That there's God and then there's everything else. There's the Creator and then there's everything that's been created. Human beings, the sun, the moon, the stars, creation, everything else. Choose that dichotomy. And what happens to us here today in 2019 when we place ourselves into that reality, all the other worldly distinctions begin to feel not all that important. In fact, this is what the Apostle Paul writes about that. This is what Peter says, all right? I see very clearly that God shows no what? Favoritism. There's no distinction. There's no separation. There's no dichotomy. Because in every nation, he does what? He accepts those who fear him and do what's right. So there's people who fear him and do what's right, and then there's everyone else. That's through the eyes of God. So here's one thing that we learn, okay? Here's one thing we learn. You can write this down in your notes. There's one thing we have in common. And that one thing is called sin. There's one thing we have in common. And that's sin. So regardless of your past, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your orientation, regardless of who you are and what you've done, we all have this in common, that we're sinful. And here's the ironic thing. Think about it. The one thing that we have in common, which is sin, is the very thing that divides us. I'll say that again. The one thing that we have in common, which is sin, is the one thing that divides us. And let's be honest, we divide each other into all these different groups because we want to feel superior, we want to feel like we're in control, we want to feel the power that comes in when it comes to lording over other folks, to know that we're on the winning team, the good team, the right side. We like it when it's clear cut, where there's black and white, right and wrong. But you see, God says there is a dichotomy. It's me and everyone else. I'm sinless, God says, and everything else is broken. It's sinful. Check out what he says in Romans chapter 3. Let's read this verse together. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So everyone means everyone. And then God, in the Gospel of Mark, this is what he says. Check it out. Jesus, he's saying this. Next slide. There we go. Let's read it together. Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. So God's saying, I'm the only one you can say is good. Everything else is not so good. Only I am good. And then to add on top of all that, I mean, this is what makes me really sad, all right? This is what really breaks my heart. And I'm guilty of it too, okay? Just point of transparency, I'm guilty of this too. That when we confess our sins, and we do that every time we come together, right? I'm a poor, miserable sinner. I confess to you all the things that I've done wrong in thought, word, and deed, and I cannot free myself. I'm in bondage to sin. We say those words over and over and over again. And if you're like me, say, okay, God, I'll give you that. But then we think, can we just at least settle for better and worse? Like can't people be just a little better or a little worse than me? Like if I can't have good or bad, can we just settle for better or worse? I mean, God, I recognize that you're the creator and I'm not, but I'm not as bad as that guy over there or that girl over there. Or, wow, have you seen what these people are doing and what these people have done? Can't we settle for better or worse? Or, God, I know you're my savior, but keep me from being like them. I don't want to be like them. So let's make it just very real, okay? Just close your eyes. Don't have to say anything. Just close your eyes. Imagine the response to this question for you. Who do you think you're better than? Not a person, but maybe it's a group of people. And the truth is, nobody can say nobody. Because if we're honest with ourselves, the people that we cringe at when we see them are the people that in our hearts we believe we are better than. And here's the point. Here's the point. You can open your eyes. Here's the point that God wanted Peter to get, that he wants us to get here today, that God's gospel is for us and them. That God's gospel is for you, is for me, is for all people. But here for today, just go ahead and turn to somebody and say, God's gospel is for you. Go ahead and do that. God's gospel is for you. I mean, think about it. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. It was given to you. You don't need to be better than to get it. It's free. You see, Jesus' forgiveness, the good news that you are his child, is for you, it's for me, it's for the Jews, for the Gentiles, for that person and this person and everybody. And that's God's point here to Peter. It's God's point for us here today. You see, Cornelius, he's a big fat sinner just like you and me. And what we begin to recognize is that what God has done for Cornelius is exactly what God has done for Peter. It's exactly what God has done for us. That Cornelius, he believed that God's word had come to him. And what happened is that his life was changed. He began to think differently. He began to make different choices. He began to live differently. And yet, just like right now, God's word is coming to you and me. We're sharing God's word with each other, and his spirit is here. And so his forgiveness is indeed for us. We're changed. But here's what happens when we believe that we begin to earn grace. That if we begin to think that we can just be a little bit better than somebody else, then what happens is that when we confess our sin, we're really not receiving the full grace that God has to give us. That somehow we are adding something to what God already wants to give to us, that he has already given to us. So if you're a non-believer, and if you're a believer, we need to hear this. The Christians, we are not better than non-Christians. We're not better than non-Christians. We're just better off. We're just better off. Now, how can I say that? I can say that. You can write this down. Because God in Jesus makes us better off. Three reasons. You can jot them down. The first one is this. That Jesus, that his life, his death, his resurrection becomes our primary identity. It's not our skin color. It's not how much we make. It's not what kind of house we live in. It's not what kind of health condition we find ourselves in. It's not the terminality of our own lives. It's not how good your kids are or your grandkids are, or how often you've been to church or haven't been to church. It's not that at all. That our core identity, what makes us us, what makes you you, is that Jesus, he has died for you and he makes you his child through baptism. It's what Owen and Graham are going to be experiencing here in just about an hour and a half. That God's grace has captured them and has changed their life. And as a response, we live differently from our core identity. Our core identity is changed. The world says, be true to who you are. Yes, be true to who you are. Because you're a baptized, loved, forgiven child of God. Here's the second one. We're better off because we believe the truth. Think about it. Even the world wants to believe the truth over a non-truth. So here's the truth. When we die, all these distinctions, the distinctions that Peter thinks that there are, the distinctions that you and I, that we wrestle with every day, they all go away. That's the truth. You can't take them with you. And when you're standing in front of Almighty God on that last day, there is no distinction. It's either you're covered in the white robes, the blood of the Lamb, the waters of baptism has washed over you, and you, as a person of faith, confess Jesus with your mouth that he is Lord, or you don't. That's the only distinction that matters in the end. And so we believe in that truth that Jesus indeed makes us better off. He is indeed our Savior and Lord. But here's the last one. Here's the last one. We're better off because we have hope. Everybody say that word with me. Hope. We have hope. We have the hope of a never-ending life. We have the hope that we don't have to just die here, but rather we have already, in a sense, died to ourselves, and now we live in Jesus' life, His death, His promise that He forgives us, that He loves us, that He forgets our past, that He sees us not as a collection of our actions or our traumas or what has been done to us or what we have done to other people, but rather we are a collection of what He has already done for us. His love, how He cherishes you and me as His children. And that this trust, it creates this hope that holds on a little bit more. Every moment we rest in that. Yeah, we're different people, for sure. We create these different dichotomies. We create these divisions. But we're not better than anybody else. We're just better off. We're better off than where we were before. Not because of anything we've done, but because God in Jesus has made us better off. He's forgiven us. He loves us. He carries us. May that hope go with you, not just this week, but until you see Him face to face in the throne room of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. For those of us who struggle with distinctions, good and bad, or even better or worse, Lord, will You forgive us? Help us to rest in Your mercy and Your grace that we did not earn. We see Cornelius who hears Your word and his life has changed, and we have heard Your word, and so change our lives as well. We ask that the hope that You have given to us would not be a hope that fades as we walk out, or a hope that fades when trouble or challenges come, but rather the hope that lives in us, the hope that we have in You, would grow stronger and stronger each and every day as we remember that the only dichotomy, the only distinction we have to lean on is that there's You and there's everything else. And at the end of the day, may we, by faith and our trust, be found in You and You alone. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Let God's people say, amen. Let's stand as we continue to pray for those that we know are in need and those in our lives who need the power and presence of God. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, You have called Cornelius, the Gentile soldier, to hear the word and proclaim for his salvation and that of his household. As he responded to the hearing of Your word with the gift of alms, so also may we be led to the acts of mercy and charity as we embody Christ in our daily lives. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, the gift of Your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, was given to the Gentile Cornelius so that Christ dwelled in him and he dwelled in Christ. May that same Spirit of Jesus, which rested on us in holy baptism, give us courage to confess His holy name even in the face of the fiercest persecution, so that we might receive the crown of everlasting life. Lord, in Your mercy, now be the light and salvation for all who are afflicted with pain and suffering or sorrow, especially those on our prayer list today. We ask for healing for their bodies and minds. Lord, we celebrate with those who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries today, that they're experiencing new life in a very real and personal way. Lord, for our community, we pray for healing among all those who call the Fox Valley home, for those who live here, who invest their lives here in this place. And Lord, we ask now that You would bring healing and relief to those that we personally name in our hearts and minds this morning. Strengthen their bodies, refresh their hearts, take away their fears, and give them Your peace. Bless all who care for them with kindness, gentleness, patience, and competence. Lord, in Your mercy. Now, Father, by Your Spirit, we place into Your hands all for whom we pray, trusting in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.